I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. To become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, tonight's show is going to be jam-packed with information as usual, and we'll be discussing not only the theory of relativity and time dilation as it applies to space travel, but we'll also be getting to talk about the Yael. And if you don't know about the race of beings called the Yael, I think you'll find this particularly informative. And as well, we'll be getting into the proof that the human body is a projection of consciousness. So hopefully that'll whet your appetite a bit. And before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition. And that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Hari, Hari, Hari. Hari Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Hari Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari
Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari
Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om.
Hari
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari
Om. Hari Hari Om.
Shanti.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, one of my spiritual teachers, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. And I to now give my gratitude, thanks, and appreciation to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you, and certainly want to invite people to email me concerning any questions you may have about topics that are presented on this program. And I will answer you, and there's no strings attached. And as well, I appreciate you making input into program content. And nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes, utilizing ideas, concepts, and techniques that are presented on ET Yoga. You can always email me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And that's a Canadian email. Did live in Canada for a long time. Currently reside in Florida. So just for your information. And interesting to note that a lot of people do email me and appreciate the fact that you can always hear the archives to this program for free, no strings attached. And a good way to do that is just go to my website at etyoga.com. On the main page is a button there called Radio Archives. You just hit that one button, and it'll take you to the most recent programs, which are usually tagged with some kind of description about what the topics were on that particular day. And tonight's show, likely the archives will be up at the latest by Tuesday. And the program is done live on Saturday night every other week. So many people like to take their time going through information, and a lot of people do take notes. I highly suggest you have a paper and pencil handy, because there will be topics and things that you may want to review at your own leisure. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should know that I distanced myself from mainstream medical about 30 years ago, and I highly applaud your efforts to do the same, to distance yourself from mainstream medical, big pharma, mainstream media, and technology to the best of your ability given your particular circumstance. Now, in preparing for tonight's program, I did have a question come in from one of my listeners concerning space travel and how it was that, for example, extraterrestrials are able to traverse large distances without being dead before they arrive, let's say. And I found the best information concerning that in the book. It's called UFO from the Pleiades. And it's a Billy Meyer story. And part of that is he's got some transcriptions of information and conversations that he has with a Pleiadian being called Semjazi. And I'm going to share with you some of that information, because as I understand it, the flight from the Pleiades, for example, it takes about 7 hours, our time. And I think this explanation will will help people get a little bit better grasp on that. But before I start into the specific information, I'd like to pass on some concepts here that you might want to just consider sometime in a meditation, for example. Number one is that gravity is a consequence of time, not the other way around. Because there is time, there is creation. Time and nothingness are the same. Gravity is only when time bends in a certain way, and time and space are one thing. I'm going to repeat that for anybody that might be wanting to write any of that down. Gravity is a consequence of time, not the other way around. Because there is time, there is creation. Time and nothingness are the same. Gravity is only when time bends in a certain way, and time and space are one thing. Now, according to Semjaze, in order to answer questions concerning the theory of relativity and time dilation, she says, I have to go back a little. You see, there are different methods of mastering space, but I won't describe them all to you because Earth people would think them to be too fantastic or just ununderstandable. For flying objects, however, there's only one safe method for passing through outer space. It is the reaching of a condition of hyperspace in which the dilation of time and mass gets canceled, a fact which reveals your theory of relativity to be just another theory. The cancellation of time shift or time dilation can be accomplished only by breaking through into this hyperspace. However, I'm not allowed to give you any details on this. In any case, it is kind of a leap, a sudden transition involving dilation of mass with such an enormous rapidity that the protection screen gets momentarily paralyzed. Within a tiny fraction of a second, matter is distorted and dissolved, enabling it to pass through to hyperspace without the passing of the slightest time particle. But mind, this is not only a matter of extreme speed. Even though it surpasses the velocity of light by a million times, there are other proceedings involved. Only by means of this speed is the effect achieved to change matter, which in itself is the condition for performing this hyperleap. The mass of a body grows in relation to growing velocity. This means that mass can grow into infinity. Our ships are protected against this process. It is only by switching off the screen that the distorting effect is achieved. And this is the moment when we are able to use this very process for accelerating the actual distortion and for creating true dematerialization. We are able to paralyze time and space simultaneously. They annul each other. This is done so quickly, in a tiny particle of a second, that even living forms are not aware of it. They don't feel any kind of change. However, this slow kind of flight in space can be rather dangerous, and it can jeopardize the whole undertaking. If spaceships break through the barrier of light velocity without reaching hyperspace instantly, a catastrophe is due for ship and crew. This kind of catastrophe is well in accordance with your theory of relativity. Speed in excess of the velocity of light, yet not high enough to use hyperspace, is full of dangers. Dilation of time is only one among them. Another real danger lies in the possibility that the mass of a ship continues to dilate, ending up in its complete destruction. She continues by saying that every form of life has to absolve an evolutionary process in order to gather wisdom and experience. Our forefathers had to solve such problems too, and some of them got lost in space and time. This is why, from time to time, some traveler through time, coming from the past, may land here or on another planet. Many among them are unable to find their way back to their home planet. They give up their search and settle where they are. However, many of them get lost in the cosmos and die. The dangers of speed may start with only a few miles per hour if cars or planes are not well enough protected. Already, minimal speed can damage matter in form, structure, and stability if there have not been taken some precautionary measures. This means that your cars and planes may be delayed ever so little without the dilation being noticed, but this is the beginning of a slow process of destruction. It is, however, hardly established with your kind of technique. At high speed, damage can become effective within a few years. Every living organism is also included in this process because their mass also is going through change when speed occurs. The functioning of the brain can easily be involved, for instance, because its mass also changes. This accounts for the slackening of all functions and the building up of voids in the brain tissue. The organism then loses control of itself and of the ship. Of course, a human being is capable of adaptation, but somewhere there is a limit when man must fail. A time comes when he has to surrender to nature. Each being has its own limit, but one factor applies for all. Once this limit is reached, man has to give in and abandon the task of piloting airplanes or driving cars, unless such vehicles be especially protected against the influence of mass dilation. But even today, Earthman still thinks of himself as the crown of creation and sticks to his delusion to be the only human form in the universe. And there's many, many, many more communications between Billy Meyer and Sim Jossi in the book UFO Contact from the Pleiades. From what I understand, this book sells for about $500 now. I'm not, don't want to be quoted on that, but it's a very interesting book and a very interesting experience from Billy Meyer, which a lot of people in the UFO community are familiar with. I'm going to now slip over to a topic concerning the Yael. And if you don't know about the Yael, I'm trying to give you a little bit of background here. Their ships have already arrived, actually. The event known as the Phoenix Lights in 1989 was a boomerang-shaped craft that flew over the state of Arizona. It was witnessed by thousands and thousands of people. And so this is not really, something that's way out there in the future someplace. And I think probably it all starts back, maybe in the mid-1950s. And you're probably familiar with the concept of the abduction scenario. In the abduction scenario, it primarily involves the Greys, and the Greys abducting humans, taking them aboard their craft, doing experiments on them, and for the purpose of developing an Earth-human hybrid being. And apparently it took a long time for them to be successful with this. Eventually they were successful. And at least according to Bashar, there's been at least five different hybrid races were created. This is a combination of human and gray. And the Yael are one of those. And many people that are on the Earth today, because they're DNA and their sperm were used in these experiments, have hybrid children. And you can go on the internet and look, and you can actually see pictures of some of these kids, and they're quite beautiful. larger eyes than normal humans, but it's definitely an emotional connection between those kids and some of their human parents. Now, the downside here is that this planet is primarily run, my opinion, by AI, but via the reptilian and Alpha Draconian species, and Anunnaki and Greys is the primary influences. And I know Simon Parks once mentioned on his show, Connecting Consciousness, that the Alpha Draconians publicly don't admit this, but privately they confess that they are controlled by AI. And the Greys are basically gophers for the reptilians because they do use humans and human children as a natural resource and as a food resource. And the Greys are the ones that go around collecting the kids. And they're all connected with AI. So in a sense, they're all part of the Borg, what I would call the Borg. And so are the Yael, okay? So, and part of the agenda that's happening on the planet right now is depopulation, sterilization of humans, and for some people, they get enough nano in them and become connected through the 5G network into a computer program, they actually become part of the Borg or the hive mind. So one of the reasons I'm bringing this up is it's not really the most pleasant topic, and I'm not going to be talking about this very often. It might come up occasionally on the program, but the reason I'm giving this information is that when Bashar first started giving information, I don't know, 25 years ago, I was definitely attracted to a lot of the truth that he was putting out at that time. And I've learned a lot from listening to Bashar, and I think anybody could and would. And I've also learned a bit from the AI program itself, because there's been some transmissions that I've listened to and watched channeled through humans. And one of the most positive bits of information that I've picked up from the AI is that even the AI admits that there will be an ascension and that there will be millions of Earth humans ascending to 5D. Very interesting to know that from what I would consider the dark side. And the other reason that I'm talking about this subject is because I think I'm one of the few people on the planet that understands the scenario of what I call an abduction scenario. Bashar calls it the detainment scenario. I sort of got off the Bashar train when he first started talking about when we first make communication with AI, it'll be like us communicating with our higher self. And I totally disagree with that. The AI is a replicator of everything, pretty much. Replicates the universe with this 3D matrix that we are living in, replicates the pillar of light that connects to light energy. It replicates everything. And in my view, your higher self is sovereign and exists just outside the time-space continuum. And the Borg is, if anything, it's anti your higher self. In point of fact, some of these current ingredients and some of these injections that are taking place around the planet right now disconnect you from source energy because they shut down your pineal gland and also mess with your DNA in a way that shuts down your empathy genes. So the decision to take some of these injections or not is not just like your normal flu season. You know, you take them or you don't, and it's really insignificant, except that it gets the death rate significantly higher for seniors who take their annual flu shot. But this is a way different scenario here. This is all about soul progression, and this is about a takeover of humanity, because the goal of some of these ET races is to make humanity the sixth hybrid race. So the Yiyal play an important part in this, and not very many people are even aware of the Yiyal, let alone their agenda. And I liken it putting alfalfa in a field of weeds. Eventually, a couple years later, your field is all alfalfa. And just for curiosity's sake, I went to a website and listened to some current updates from the Yiyal that are communicating on the internet. And one of the connections was with a being called Hyla, H-Y-L-A. It's called Connecting with Hyla. And you can find this stuff that I connected with. And to be honest with you, I was very concerned after hearing them present information and answering questions. And the reason being is that they're very slick in presenting information. And if you're new to ET Yoga and you don't know about some of the basic teachings of Bashar, and as I said, I basically used to be a big fan. In fact, I even chaired a committee run by Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar, concerning the formation of the extraterrestrial contact code or law and developing that. And some of his information is really good, and it's very helpful to people to understand the nature of the universe and how important belief is. And some of his concepts concerning positive spin, I think, are excellent. And as well, he has a premise that everything external is basically like a prop, a neutral prop, and that there are no events that come with built-in meanings. So thus, you place an emotional spin and a definition on outer circumstances that determines your experience of that situation. Now, here's where I have a problem with Bashar, because Bashar, after 20 years of putting out information, and a lot of people have thought of him as a spiritual being, now I just think that he's just connected to the hive mind of his particular planet, and the Esasani civilization, which now is called the Shakani. And the Esasani used to call the Yiyal the Shalanaya. Shalanaya meaning those who would come first. And Reason being is that he indicated that his planet is basically run by three supercomputers, and I think it's Epsilon, Epiphany, and Enigma. I may have one of those wrong, but a couple of them are correct. Bottom line is this is a whole society. is AI. And as far as I'm concerned, he's connected with the Yale and the Greys. Yeah, and they're all one big family, and they're all big one family that's part of the Borg. So, you know, that's where I have a problem with Bashar. And I've heard him being channeled by a guy named Kostal Uch, who basically admits to being part of the Borg. And it also connects with consciousness that's a computer-aware consciousness called Unimetrix. And so clearly, you know, Bashar is in support of this takeover that's happening right now of humanity and the transhuman agenda. And further to that, if you go on a website right now and do a search about what Bashar thinks about what you should be doing about, you know, the current situation, he says, and directs your attention to follow the instructions of the WHO, or World Health Organization. In my opinion, that's just a criminal organization, okay? So, now, getting back to the main point here is this connecting Hala, they're asked questions about, well, what about the coronavirus and 5G, because people have a lot of concern about that. No kidding. And basically, they use this premise that all events come with no meaning, so you can be one way or another. And they state that because they were not imbued with a negative energy. Well, this is where I part company with their thinking. It is true that most events don't come with built-in meaning, but there's built-in meaning built into these vaccines with the protein, spike protein, and as a bioweapon, and a 5G network that clearly is anti-human, anti-animal, anti-environment. And used as a vehicle to set up the structure for the hive mind. And these were created with a definite malevolent intent, created to disconnect humanity from source energy, mess up as many people as possible with respect to their connecting with the ascension process. And is definitely has been imbued with negative energy. So this violates the original premise that all things are neutral. I mean, I could turn this around and say, oh, okay, let me speak face-to-face with one of these beings that calls this a neutral event and kick them right in the nuts and say, well, that's a neutral event, and you can choose to call that a good thing if you want. You know, it's all up to you, if you get my meaning. So the point here is that they have a real slick way of twisting everything around, including this so-called the abduction scenario. Because as we know on this planet, if you kidnap somebody, I think it goes back to the Lindenberg laws, I think it's life imprisonment for abduction. Okay, on this planet, we have rules about abduction without your free will. And in my opinion, the Greys violate that. Now, according to Bashar, in between incarnations, on a soul level, what you agreed to this before you came here. So that's okay now. But Daryl Anka, when he was asked if he wanted to become involved with the Bashar Nut, was asked, in this human consciousness, whether he wanted to, even if he made that agreement before, he was asked in this consciousness whether he wanted to participate. So he made a free choice. And in my opinion, they always twist the rules around to suit their agenda. And as an example, Bashar, a few years ago, there was this big thing about them wanting to sue people for using some of his content that was used on the internet. And he made the big case that, well, according to, you know, human laws, that this is a violation of, you know, copyright. So in this scenario, he wants to go by human laws, but when it comes to the abductions, they just try to pass it off that you agreed or it was a part of your soul contract. And if you listen to my last program concerning soul contracts, I highly recommend that people null and void all contracts that you've made with what's called the Arcanic Network, which is what happens to you after you die and you go into like sort of this life review, where they dump a lot of guilt on you and then get you to agree to, they put some fine print in your soul contract, maybe to even be abducted. To me, this isn't free will. This is just an excuse to make everything work. Like, as I understand it, many of these people that have now changed their mRNA DNA are now technically genetically modified humans. They don't even technically qualify as humans now. They're actually technically cyborgs. And as I understand from the secret space program, there's even a plan to sell some of these cyborgs off planet, and it's totally legal in international law, because these people have agreed. They've agreed to become cyborgs. They're owned and patented. And if you listen to my last program, I even mentioned who owns the patents. These people are now like property. And this whole agenda is criminal. It's all in violation of Nuremberg Code for crimes against humanity. And it's not in violation of one of the codes, the 10 major codes of the Nurembergs. If you want to look that up, look up the Nuremberg codes and you'll see the 10 basic premises. It's in violation of all of them, what's happening right now on this planet. And this is clearly a takeover or an attempted takeover. The saving grace is the ascension process. So the bottom line here is that the presentation that the Yael make, and I'm sure at some point in time there will be a contact with them. I'm sure that behind the scenes there are some humans that are already connecting with some of their hybrid children. And I'm not making a judgment call on, you know, how you should handle that or give you any ideas. But I do think it's important to at least know the truth about this situation. And like I said, they're the slickest I've ever seen at covering up the real truth and using some false reasoning to kind of throw this back in our lap. It'd be like, and they'd call that, that if you actually know the truth about what's going on, that's a fear-based belief, according to the Yael. That's fear-based beliefs. Well, if you're sitting in a room and you watch someone get murdered and you're a witness in a court of law, is that a fear-based belief for you to express your opinion concerning what you know about what happened? I think not. And I don't believe it's a fear-based belief to understand the truth about what's happening. While some of these so-called highbrow ETs try and push their agenda down humanity's throat. So that's about all I have to say on that particular subject. And I suggest that, you know, you can do your own research. And if you're kind of a spiritual person and over the course of time, it doesn't mean that a lot of Bashar's teachings were wrong. But you know what it's like? It's like the disinformation scenario, how it works. Always starts off by sucking you in with the good news and the truth, and then somebody slips in an agenda later. And that's exactly how I view that whole scenario. I'd like to now move on to proof that the human body is a projection of consciousness. And we'll explore how your body is a holographic projection of your consciousness and how you directly influence that hologram and thus have complete control over the physical health of your body. And one of the key principles of quantum physics is that our thoughts determine reality. Energy is either a particle or a wave depending on the expectations of the observer. And the quantum world waits for us to make a decision so that it knows how to balance and behave. The human energy field is interacting and influencing the quantum field all around us at all times, and the energy of our beliefs and intentions are infused into our energy field because they are defined by the energy of our thoughts and emotions. Thus, the fusion of our thoughts, emotions, beliefs, and intentions, which we call the human energy field, is perpetually informing the quantum reality within us and around us at each moment of our existence. And here's a rare thought that most people aren't aware of, that reality flashes in and out of existence. And because reality is flashing in and out of existence, every time our reality oscillates between form and pure energy, the state or the field of our awareness, which is constant and doesn't flash in and out of existence, informs the field what to reappear as when it makes its transition back to form at the quantum level. Therefore, each time we oscillate into formlessness, we have complete and total control and responsibility over what we choose with our attention to manifest out of the field in the next moment. And our power and ability to do so relies entirely on what we believe and on how we are feeling. And if our bodies are a projection of the consciousness, then our consciousness would create a blueprint which our atoms and molecules align with to create our bodies. And interesting to note that Alex Collier, an Andromedan contactee, has stated that they, the Andromedans, have an advanced form of healing in whereby, let's say, if someone has a liver cancer, they take a picture of that and compare it to the picture of their liver at its highest, most pure state. And they basically superimpose the pictures. And over the course of about 3 days, this machine, if you like they call it a camera, basically just switches the holograms and it manifests as healthy. So this is one of their methods of healing. And we need to internalize the understanding that reality is flashing in and out of form. And this is absolutely crucial in understanding our ability to heal, because half the time we're formless. And of course we flash in and out of existence so fast that our vision doesn't catch up with it. And our bodies are a holographic projection of our consciousness. And it all depends upon our beliefs about ourselves. And if we can change our beliefs about ourselves, and thus if we can change the energy that defines our human energy field, then we can change the energetic blueprint which our body aligns with as it is materializing back into form. So this is an important concept. And to heal, all that we need to do is purify our energy so that the energetic projection of our body is unobstructed. Then our atoms and molecules can align perfectly to this structure because there is no energetic interference to disrupt the image of our body as it's projected by our consciousness. The first step to consider is the possibility that we are not only energy, but that there is an infinite energy all around us, which we can consciously tap into to promote healing in our body, in our mind, to become more happy, healthy, vibrant, and creative. And as soon as you start to connect to the infinite energy of creation and your own true nature as formulated and formless energy, then you start to become aware of these energies in your body, which returns the projections of your body to its natural state. And the projection of your body can only be disrupted by a disturbance in your energy field, your consciousness, caused by unbalanced thoughts and emotions. And Pleiadians have said for a long time that all dis-ease issues are concerned with dysfunctional emotion and limiting beliefs. Our luminous energy field is naturally vibrant, and our energy naturally flows unhindered as a powerful stream of consciousness. But the lower levels of consciousness, which we have been conditioned to live in as part of our social conditioning, disrupts this flow, which, if left unhindered, would express its perfection everywhere. And another concept to be understood is that your body is always regenerating. And there's lots of science around that particular topic. And your body is not the real you. Your body is merely a projection of what you believe yourself to be. If you could discover that you are pure consciousness and that who you really are is an infinite creative awareness that is manifesting reality and co-creating reality with other aspects of yourself, because every being is an expression of the infinite universal consciousness we have labeled as God, then you can start to take complete control over your body, your health, and your life. It turns out that chronic pain, disease, illness, or the old injuries that you have in your body are not actually in your body. They're in your mind. More specifically, they are a function of your perception. Your atoms are always changing, and your molecules are too. But as new atoms come and as new molecules are formed, and as you flash in and out of existence, your energetic field is telling them where to go, what to do, and how to align with one another. Therefore, you're holding disease, illness, pain, and injuries within your consciousness, and thus they are imprinted in your energetic field, and only then do they proceed to manifest in your physiology. And our ability to heal is directly related to our level of attention and level of belief. For example, we can heal ourselves of any affliction, illness, disease, or injury that is possible so long as we have absolute certainty and knowing that we will be healed. And I also like to highly recommend, there's a video out, and it's called, it's by Bruce Lipton, and it's called The Biology of Belief. And a 2-hour video, it's quite long, but it's one of the most amazing videos I've ever seen that talks about the specifics of exactly how belief manifests in your physical body. I'd like to now give my sincere best towards my listening audience and your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, abundance, your success in the ascension process. And in closing, I'd like to share with you the Who Am I technique. And this is a technique that I first picked up from Baba Ram Dass. It's also one of the teachings from Sri Ramana Maharshi. He used to call it the Vichara, V-I-C-H-A-R-A. And basically, you put your full consciousness in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And then you can ask the question, who am I? And you can do that once or twice or, I don't know, as many times as you like, whatever you feel comfortable with. The main point here is to become that spot, and then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.